Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of bids meeting to order. First order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, certified proofs of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the State of Louisiana from the Advocate Official Journal for the State of Louisiana and from respective parish journals as evidence that tract numbers 42076 through 42124 have been advertised in accordance with and under provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. We have no letters of protest for today's lease sale, and there will be no tracts will be recommended for withdrawal from today's sale, and we'll proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. There were no bids on tracts 42076 through 42080. There was one bid on tract 42081, advertised as 241 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Incorporated. Classic Petroleum Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $905,678, or a per acre value of $3,758. Annual rentals are $452,839. Royalties are 25%. There were two bids on tract 42082, advertised as 22 acres. The first bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Matador Resources Company. Matador Resources Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $216,055.40. Or a per acre value of $9,820.70. Annual rentals are $108,027.70. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 42082 is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Incorporated. Classic Petroleum Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $93,676, or a per acre value of $4,258. Annual rentals are $46,838. Royalties are 25%. There was one bid on track 42083, advertised as 0.15 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Incorporated. Classic Petroleum Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $233.70, or per acre value of $1,558. Annual rentals are $116.85. Royalties are 25%. There were no bids on tracts 42084 through 42087. There were five bids on tract 42088, advertised as 108 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 86 acres. The bidder is Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years, with a cash payment of $64,500, are a per acre value of $750. Annual rentals are $32,250. $32,250. Royalties are 25%. The second bid is for a portion containing 6 acres. The bidder is Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $4,500 or a per acre value of $750. Annual rentals are $2,250. $2,250. Royalties are 25%. The third bid on track 42088 is for a portion containing 5 acres. The bidder is Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $3,750. $3,750 or a per acre value of $750. Annual rentals are $1,875. $1,875. Royalties are 25%. The fourth bid on track 42088 is for a portion containing 3 acres. The bidder is Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $2,250. $2,250 or a per acre value of $750. Annual rentals are $1,125. $1,125. Royalties are 25%. The fifth bid on track 42088 is for a portion containing 7 acres. The bidder is Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. Samson Contour Energy E&P LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $5,250. $5,250 or a per acre value of $750. Annual rentals are $2,625. $2,625. Royalties are 25%. There were no bids on tracks 42089 or 42090. There was one bid on track 42091, advertised as 27 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Endeavor Natural Gas LP. Endeavor Natural Gas LP. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $16,335. $16,335 or per acre value of $605. Annual rentals are $8,167.50. $8,167.50. Royalties are 25%. There were no bids on track 42092. There was one bid on track 42093, advertised as 109 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is El Paso E&P Company, LP. El Paso E&P Company, LP. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $32,844.97. $32,844.97 or per acre value of $301.33. Annual rentals are $16,423.03. $16,423.03. Royalties are 25%. There were no bids on tracks 42094 through 42096. There was one bid on track 42097, advertised as 1,717.14 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 155.39 acres. The bidder is Mack Energy Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $47,083.17. $47,083.17, or per acre value of $303. Annual rentals are $23,541.59. Royalties are 23%. There were no bids on track 42098. There were seven bids on track 42099, advertised as 2,190.29 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 85.39 acres. The bidder is Castex Energy 2005 LP. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $18,871.19. Or per acre value of $221.09. Annual rentals are $9,435.60. Royalties are 24.25%. The second bid on track 42099 is for a portion containing 174.71 acres. The bidder is Castex Energy 2005 LP. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $60,449.66. Or a per acre value of $346. Annual rentals are $30,224.83. Royalties are 24.25%. The third bid for track 42099 is for a portion containing 174.28 acres. The bidder is Castex Energy 2005 LP. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $90,102.76. Or per acre value of $517. Annual rentals are $45,051.38. Royalties are 23.25%. The fourth bid on track 42099 is for a portion containing 273.15 acres. The bidder is Square Mile Energy LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $179,459.55. Or per acre value of $657. Annual rentals are $89,729.78. Royalties are 25%. The fifth bid on track 42099 is for a portion containing 210.44 acres. The bidder is Square Mile Energy LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $33,039.08. Or per acre value of $157. Annual rentals are $16,519.54. Royalties are 22.5%. The sixth bid on track 42099 is for a portion containing 175.9 acres. The bidder is Square Mile Energy, LLC. Square Mile Energy, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $66,138.40. $66,138.40, or per acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $33,069.20. $33,069.20. Royalties are 22.5%. The seventh and final bid on track 42099 is for a portion containing 721.94 acres. The bidder is Tri-C Resources, LLC. Tri-C Resources, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $545,064.70. $545,064.70, or per acre value of $755. Annual rentals are $272,532.35. $272,532.35. Royalties are 23.5%. There were no bids on track 42100. There were three bids on track 42101, advertised as 1,857 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 203.73 acres. The bidder is Square Mile Energy, LLC. Square Mile Energy, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $76,602.48. $76,602.48, or per acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $38,301.24. $38,301.24. Royalties are 22.5%. The second bid on track 42101 is for a portion containing 173.67 acres. The bidder is Square Mile Energy, LLC. Square Mile Energy, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $65,299.92. $65,299.92, or per acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $32,649.96. $32,649.96. Royalties are 22.5%. The third bid on track 42101 is for a portion containing 19.65 acres. The bidder is Square Mile Energy, LLC. Square Mile Energy, LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $7,388.40. $7,388.40, or per acre value of $376. Annual rentals are $3,694.20. $3,694.20. Royalties are 22.5%. There were no bids on tracks 42102 or 42103. There was one bid on track 42104, advertised as 254 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 209.255 acres. The bidder is Hillcorp Energy One LP, a Texas Limited Partnership. Hillcorp Energy One LP, Texas Limited Partnership. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $74,494.78. $74,494.78. Or per acre value of $356. Annual rentals are $37,247.39. $37,247.39. Royalties are 23.5%. There were no bids on tracks 42105 through 42107. There was one bid on track 42108, advertised as 1,366.66 acres. That's a lot of sixes. The bid is for a portion containing 30 acres. The bidder is Hillcorp Energy One LP. Hillcorp Energy One LP. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $8,250. $8,250, or per acre value $275. Annual rentals are $4,125. $4,125. Annual royalties are 22.5%. There was one bid on track 42109, advertised as 1,986.13 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 444.773 acres. The bidder is Hillcorp Energy One LP. Hillcorp Energy One LP. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $122,312.58. $122,312.58, or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $61,156.29. $61,156.29. Royalties are 22.5%. There were no bids on tracks 42110. There was one bid on track 42111, advertised as 1 acre. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $6,000 or per acre value of $6,000. Annual rentals are $3,000. Royalties are 1/4. There was one bid on track 42112, advertised as 2 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $14,000. $14,000, or per acre value of $7,000. Annual rentals are $3,500. $3,500. Royalties are 1/4. There was one bid on track 42113, advertised as 0.676 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is QEP Energy Company. QEP Energy Company. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $4,732. $4,732, or per acre value of $7,000. Annual rentals are $2,366. $2,366. Royalties are 1/4. There was one bid on track 42114, advertised as 6.171 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum Incorporated. Classic Petroleum Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $32,447.12. $32,447.12, or a per acre value of $5,258. Annual rentals are $16,223.56. $16,223.56. Royalties are 25%. There was one bid on track 42115, advertised as 80 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Bruce Philos LLC. Sorry if I mispronounced that. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $5,600. $5,600 or per acre value of $70. Annual rentals are $2,800. $2,800. Royalties are 20%. There was one bid on tract 42116, advertised as 80 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Anadarko E&P Company, L.P. Anadarko E&P Company, L.P. with a primary term of 3 years and a cash payment of $16,471.20. $16,471.20. Or per acre value of $205.89. Annual rentals are $8,235.60. $8,235.60. Royalties are 22.5%. There was one bid on tract 42117, advertised as 160 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Anadarko E&P Company, L.P. Anadarko E&P Company, L.P. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $32,942.40. $32,942.40. Or per acre value of $205.89. Annual rentals are $16,471.20. $16,471.20. Royalties are 22.5%. There was one bid on tract 42118, advertised as 10 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is New Century Exploration Incorporated. New Century Exploration Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $4,000. $4,000 or per acre value of $400. Annual rentals are $2,000. $2,000. Royalties are 24%. There was one bid on tract 42119, advertised as 13.92 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is MMB Energy LLC. MMB Energy LLC. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $3,841.92. $3,841.92. Or a per acre value of $276. Annual rentals are $3,841.92. $3,841.92. Royalties are 22.5%. There were no bids on tracts 42120 through 42122. There was one bid on tract 42123. Advertised as 2,495 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 88 acres. The bidder is Patrick L. Donahue Petroleum Properties, Incorporated. Patrick L. Donahue Petroleum Properties, Incorporated. The bid is for a primary term of 3 years with a cash payment of $31,328. $31,328. Or per acre value of $356. Annual rentals are $15,664. $15,664. Royalties are 25%. There were no bids on track 42124. And that will conclude the opening of the bids for today's lease sale. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. The committee meetings are scheduled to begin at 9:30.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Lease Review Committee will be called into session. Roll call. Mr. Angel, Mr. Segura,
here.
Mr. Arnold, Mr. Cordero,
here.
Mr. Diaz, Mr. Ingram, Mr. Martin,
here.
Mr. Sanders,
here.
Ms. Smith, and Mr. Graves, Mr. Diaz.
Here.
We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting. Mr. Talbert, please present the agenda.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Smith and members of the board. I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,805 active leases covering nearly 839,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 174 leases covering 130,000 acres. Of the 164, there are three leases discussed in more detail. We'll begin with State Lease 192-C in the West Bay Field. Hillcorp Energy is the lessee. Committee last reviewed this lease on April 13, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to grant Hillcorp until May 11, 2011 to submit an update on activities affecting this lease. By letter dated May 10, 2011, Hillcorp reported six recompletions were performed since the last report. Four of the six attempts were successful. Recompletions bring a total expenditure to over $3.1 million. It was also reported that Hillcorp continues to work the 3D seismic over the lease and has tentative plans to drill three additional wells on the lease. The staff is recommending that Hillcorp be granted until December 14, 2011 to submit an update on the activities affecting this lease. Next lease is State Lease 340, Coblanche Island Field. Swift Energy is our lessee. Committee last reviewed this lease on March 9, 2011. The board adopted the committee's recommendation that Swift be given until June 8, 2011 to commit to the release of 1,000 acres from the non-producing state lease acreage or be placed in default. I'm happy to report by letter date April 28, 2011 that Swift Energy committed to the board's requested release. Therefore, the staff recommends accepting Swift's 1,000-acre partial release, and by December 14, 2011, Swift is to provide a status report of their efforts in offering the acreage back to the Burton heirs and their proposed divestiture of the field. And lastly, yes, sir. That's correct, and they'll have that Burton heirs will have a year to decide to develop that acreage that's released back to them. If that isn't done, the acreage comes back to the state. So it will be made offered, and they do have a decision to take the acreage, and then they've got a year to develop it. Did I answer your question? If that is correct. The best case scenario was that the Burton heirs would just say no, that they do not have an interest to develop the acreage, and then it'll come back to the state. Mm-hmm. Lastly, State Lease 173, Caddo Pine Island Field, Gemini Exploration, and Rockwell Petroleum or lessees. The committee last reviewed this lease on February 9, 2011. Last recommendation on this lease was that Rockwell Petroleum provide a status report on the completion of the well by May 9, 2011, and that Gemini Exploration continue their P&A efforts. By email dated May 31st, 2011, Rockwell Petroleum reported on their horizontal completion in the Anona Chalk, where 11-stage frac was performed on the well, resulting in an oil flow rate between 25 to 75 barrels per day. Rockwell will be installing a pump on the well and flowing it to a newly installed tank battery. In addition, Gemini Exploration informed by email that they have P&A'd the first of four wells for 2011. Staff recommends that Rockwell Petroleum report on their future plans in the Anona Chalk affecting this lease by November 9, 2011, and that Gemini Exploration continue their P&A efforts in accordance with the approved P&A plan. Any questions on these leases? Moving on to on our agenda, we did issue a letter of no objection to Phoenix Exploration for 29E waiver to produce a Sibop well. And I think Mr. Bradbury has a force majeure report.
Chairman Smith, members of the board, good morning.
Morning, sir.
This month, the three matters from under the old portion of it, the three companies that were purporting force majeure are still in negotiations in various forms. So there's been a little bit of change, but not really any from last month. This month, because of the flood, we had eight companies make reports requesting force majeure on 25 state leases and one operating agreement. In your packet, there's a resolution that's a bulk resolution for just granting recognizing force majeure for all those leases, and we'd appreciate if you'd approve that today. I did some research. Conservation has a main report where they're tracking the number of wells that are off production. Last week they reported there were 169 wells off production due to flooding. That equated to about 3,800 barrels of oil a day and 32 million cubic feet of gas shut in. In that, I identified, going through their list, that there were 42 leases and three operating agreements affected. So above and beyond what's been reported, there's another 17 leases and two operating agreements that we may get force majeure requests in the future on. Right now, they're in like the 90-day grace period, so they don't have to make an immediate report at this time. The royalty share of that production shut in is 76 barrels of oil and a little over a million cubic feet of gas, which comes out to about $14,000 a day. So that's the impact from a royalty standpoint. If you got any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Sanders, please. Do we need to act separately on the resolution, force majeure resolution?
If you want to, what's been happening is we bring these resolutions and we're just, you know, approving the committee report. We'll just sign the resolution as not voted on but approved by the committee.
Thank you.
You can go either way.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions or comments about the board? Any public comments or questions? I need a motion and a second to accept and approve all the reports and reviews by the...
Sanders moved.
Mr. Sanders moves. I have a second by Mr. Sanders. Tom Arnold, second. All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. I have a motion by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Diaz. The Lease Review Committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Track Evaluation Committee meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Scott Angel, Paul Segura.
Here.
Tom Arnold. Juba Diaz. Juba's here. Bay Ingram. Mike Morton. Tom Sanders.
Here.
Daryl Smith. Helen Smith. Garrett Graves. Okay, we have a quorum. Good morning, Ms. Fontenot.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 49 tracts in the official journals of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. 48 nominations were received in this office for the August 10, 2011 lease sale, and they're pending approval by the board for advertising. It's the staff's recommendation that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received in this office for the August 2011 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept his recommendation. Motion by Mr. Sanders. Yeah. Is there any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Go ahead.
The final item on the agenda is a request by Bonton E&P Inc. for a $30 per acre exclusive geophysical agreement type 2 in the Bayou Carlin Field, St. Mary Parish, Louisiana. Granting the geophysical will take out of commerce approximately 3,200 acres of water bottoms for 18 months or 24 months if the option term is activated. There are three things associated with a Type 2 geophysical. One, the EGA grantee shall have the exclusive right to nominate acres within the EGA area for a state mineral lease during the primary term of the EGA or the option term if activated. Two, each lease nomination shall not exceed 1,500 acres. And three, lease nominations shall not in an aggregate amount exceed one-third of the entire acreage of the EGA unless agreed to by the State Mineral and Energy Board. The staff recommends that the acreage in the Bonton request be taken out of commerce and an EGA Type 2 be advertised for the August 10, 2011 lease sale with a $30 per acre fee. Also, that the board waive provisions 2 and 3 above so that each lease nomination can contain up to 2,500 acres and that the lease nomination in the aggregate amount can exceed one-third of the entire acreage of the EGA.
Motion and second?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Is there a time frame associated with the EGA?
Once it's advertised and is bid upon, it'll be 18 months unless they exercise the option for an additional 6 months.
Is there an associated cost for the extra 6 months?
Yes, it is. It's a rental cost.
Okay. So half?
Yes.
Okay. I make a motion to approve.
Sanders, second.
Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Is there any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Need a motion and second to adjourn the committee. Motion by Mr. Segura. Second by Mr. Diaz. Committee's adjourned.
I'd like to call the audit committee meeting to order. Take roll call. Mr. Smith. Mr. Diaz. Mr. Cordero? Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present, please.
Mr. Morton? Yes. That represents a quorum. Good morning, Rachel. How are you doing?
Good morning. Item number one on the audit agenda is a penalty waiver request from Stone Energy Corporation for a penalty in the amount of $28,006.79 billed for late payment of royalty. On February 7, 2011, Stone paid the state a total of $126,907.16 in late royalty for September 2008 through September 2010. The payment was not related to a field audit. Stone's payment was late due to a severance tax refund on wells certified as inactive. Stone was billed and paid $9,261.22 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, the staff is recommending a 75% waiver because royalty was outstanding less than 3 years. The amount of the reduction would be $21,005.09 with a balance of $7,001.70 owed the state.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. Any questions from the committee?
No. Move to accept.
We have a motion by Mr. Segura. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Diaz. Do we have any public comment? Do we have anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Item 2.
Item number 2 is a penalty waiver request from Dune Operating Company for a penalty of $132,784.93 billed for audit exceptions. The field audit for January 2002 through December 2005 began on September 18, 2006. Total royalty collected for the audit period is $12,193,938.41. This was Dune's first audit. They were somewhat cooperative with accommodations and scheduling, provided very timely responses to questions or requests for more records. However, there were some difficulties with personnel. Dune has put some measures in place to prevent recurrence of errors on future royalties. They paid the state a total of $855,967.96 in royalty exceptions and $71,476.60 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, we are recommending a 50% penalty waiver. The amount of the reduction would be $66,392.46, with a balance of $66,392.47 owed the state.
The committee has heard Ms. Newman's report and recommendation. Do you have any comments?
I'll move to accept staff's recommendation.
Sanders, second.
Moved by Segura, second by Mrs. Sanders. Any public comment? Any objections from the committee? Hearing none, the motion carries. Item 3, please.
Item 3 is a penalty waiver request from Energy Partners Limited for a penalty of $10,317.89 billed for audit exceptions. This one is a little bit different than our normal audit exceptions. It was not a field audit of Energy Partners, but it was found as a result of another audit for a separate company. The desk review period covered July 2006 through April 2009, but our exceptions extended all the way through to December 2009. The review began on August 1, 2009. Total royalty collected for the exception period is $13,373,698.29. Energy Partners provided timely responses to questions and requests for records. They promptly remitted $35,803.58 in royalty exceptions and $7,843.83 in interest. In accordance with penalty waiver protocol, we are recommending a 100% penalty waiver in the amount of $10,317.89.
You've heard Ms. Newman's report and recommendations. Have a motion?
I'll move to accept.
What?
I'll move to accept. Staff's recommendation.
Move by Mr. Garrett, second by Mr. Sanders. Any comment or questions from the committee? Any from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Item number 4 is the staff report to the committee that the election for June 2011 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. Can I have a motion to adjourn, please?
Move to adjourn.
Second. Moved by Segura, second by Sanders. Anyone opposed? We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
April. Good morning, Mr. Heck.
Good morning, sir. Before we start, I would like to request that the board add an item to the agenda. The reason it's so late is the information requested didn't come in till yesterday afternoon. So this has to do with the request by Encana at the March meeting to support before the commissioner their request for long lateral cross unit in the wells. What we are asking now is to add an item with the staff's request for the board to support Encana and to ratify the commissioner's order number, just a minute, let me get it. Order number 990-D-5 and I'll explain when we get to that item why the staff is requesting the support. But I would like to request that the board add that item to the agenda.
What's the pleasure of the committee?
Move.
Thank you,
to
Mr. Kerr,
for the add this item.
I didn't. Who gave him a second, please? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Any public comment on this issue? Any board comment? Any objection? Hear none, the motion carries.
The remaining.
That needs to be 100%, right? Unanimous? Thank you.
That's item number 6, by the way.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, Ms. A.
The remaining 5 items that are currently on today's agenda are all requests for final approval to leases to amend paragraphs 2 and 6. All of these lease amendments have been approved in principle at a prior board meeting. They have all been drafted, executed, and duly advertised. Since they're all separate, 4 of them are from one particular party. The 5th one is from a different party, but they all deal with different leases. So for the record, I'm going to read each one individually. Item 1 is a request by Manti to amend lease number 19712. Number 2 is a request by Energy 21 GOM LLC to amend lease 19707. Number 3 is a request by Energy 21 GOM LLC to amend lease number 19708. Number 4 is a request by Energy 21 GOM LLC to amend lease number 19709. And number 5 is a request by Energy 21 GOM LLC to amend lease number 19710.
Heard the staff's report. So I suppose we should deal with them one by one.
I'd like to make a motion to accept all 5 of them.
Okay.
Items 1 through 5 as recommended by the staff.
Okay. Hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Any public comment on this? Any board comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hear none unanimously. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. On item number 6, which was just added to the agenda, if the board members will recall at the March meeting, a representative and of Encana came before the board requesting that the board support their request to the commissioner to drill what I'll call long laterals across unit lines from one single location. The staff had some questions at that time and requested that the board support it based upon these conditions being fulfilled, one being that the commissioner, first of all, go along with the idea and grant the permission to drill the long laterals, but one of the main conditions was to be able to report the production from those long lateral wells as a single well so they could be audited. And the way it was worded in the resolution by the board was that the commissioner would assign a LUC code based upon the well serial number for the long laterals, which would be reported in conservation on those LUC codes so that they could be individually monitored and audited. What has happened is one of the conditions that was met was the commissioner did go along with the idea of long laterals, and that was issued as an order number 990-D-5, but also there is a memorandum, an official memorandum that is attached to that order, which is the way that the commissioner and his staff will operate under this order, and that being that they will require the operator of the unit, which means not just Encana, but any operator that comes and operates those units, will be reporting the long lateral wells on a single well basis, the production from it in the Sunrise system, which is what we required because that's what we need to have it audited. Another thing is that they will require, or that they will verify and validate the production from those single wells on the unit basis. Those being the case, and that's how they operate the unit, the staff can go along with that and request that the board accept it, even though it doesn't follow exactly the conditions that the board previously required, which is to assign a new LU code to the well on a serial number basis. So what the staff is requesting, based upon the memorandum, the official memorandum as to how this order will be monitored and operated, that the board does, first of all, support Encana's request to be able to drill long laterals in these particular units. And they are involving units in the Haynesville Shale, of course. And secondly, that the order of the commissioner be ratified by the board as to how it will be operated according to this memorandum. If there are any questions.
Any member of the board have a question? The chairman has a question. At the agenda discussion, I picked up some reservations about this. Has that been resolved?
Yes. The reservations that the staff had were the basis of the conditional request for resolution that we had at that time. Those conditions have been met in spirit to the point where the staff can support the way it's going to actually operate. The main problem that the staff had and the main reservation was not being able to audit the production from those single wells to verify, because they were being assigned on percentage of perforations per unit in the long lateral, unless there was production monitored from those single wells rather than from the entire unit, it would be virtually impossible to monitor the production and audit it on a unit basis. But the way this memorandum states that the unit will be operated and reported in the Sunrise system, which is available for our mineral income staff to use in an audit, it will be sufficient for them to be able to audit the production and, of course, the royalty that's produced from that.
Just to follow up, since we're dealing with a precedental matter and could anticipate we're going to receive some more requests, mm-hmm. I gather that this memorandum of understanding, that's on an individual application as opposed to a general
policy.
That's correct.
This memorandum supports this particular order. Before the board or the staff will request that the board go along with any of these other requests for these long laterals, we would either need a memorandum from the commissioner that would apply to all units with long laterals, or for any time a unit is created or an order is created that will allow long laterals, we would need an additional memorandum from the commissioner that would state how those would be operated.
I wanted to clarify, too.
Chair recognized, Ms. Talley.
Late last week, we met with the commissioner and his staff and discussed the technical issues involved, and we also met with the IT staff, and we came up with a system that was mutually agreeable to us and the commissioner's staff. And he is having a computer system developed, that will be not only apply to this situation but also future.
Thank you, Ms. Tyler. Does any other member of the board have a comment or question or observation about this issue? Any public comment or observation? Chair will entertain a motion.
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the second. Any objection to the motion? Any comment by the board? Hearing no objection, the matter passes unanimously.
I think that concludes all the items on the agenda.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hack. Thank you, Ms. April.
Thank you.
Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn the committee. Thank you, Mr. Segura. Thank you, Mr. Arnold, for the second. Here. Any objection? Hearing none. Motion carried.
Call the docket review committee to order. We'll call the roll. Mr. Angel Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold.
Present.
Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Did I say that close?
Cordero.
What's close? Ingram. Mr. Martin.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Here.
Darrell Smith. Ellen Smith. Gad Graves. We have a quorum. Will the staff please present his recommendations to the committee? Mr. Dennis.
Good morning. The staff of the Petroleum Lands Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the June 8, 2011 docket review committee and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve item number one. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 and item number 2. Item number 3, please approve subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 4 through items number 12. For item number 13, please approve subject to the approval of the Governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 14 through items number 25. For category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency lease transfers, please approve item number 1. For category D, advertised proposals, please approve items number 1 through items number 6. And this would complete the staff recommendation to the DACA Review Committee.
Are there any public comments to the staff recommendations? Any comments from the board? Do I have a motion to accept the staff recommendations? Mr. Sanders, Mr. Arnold seconds. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. I have a motion to adjourn the docket review committee. Mr. Sanders, Mr. Arnold, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The docket review committee is now adjourned.
The board meeting will convene at 11.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Angel, Mr. Segura.
Here.
Mr. Arnold. Mr. Cordero.
Here.
Mr. Diaz.
Here.
Mr. Ingram. Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Smith.
He's not here.
He's not here. Ms. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 7 members present and a quorum.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Talley. Item 2, approval of the May 11th, 2011 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? We have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public discussion? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. Item 3, the adoption of the committee recommendations, A, the Lease Review Committee, B, the Nomination Track Committee, C, Audit Committee, D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee, and E, Docket Review Committee. We have a motion by Mr. Arnold for approval of those committee recommendations or approvals. Second by Mr. Sanders. Any questions or discussion, Mr. Cordero?
I need to talk to you about one of them.
Okay.
Just some of the back to the Lease Review Committee on the resolution we passed. I'd like to make a motion to amend the 6th paragraph to include at the end of it, force majeure is in effect, provided that they also amend to include the other required clauses the board has previously directed.
Should we have just a moment, please?
So do you need me to amend my motion?
To
accept that?
Excuse me.
Yes, you do.
Any leases that requested a force majeure already have those clauses in them. They can't have a force majeure without that.
Let me also state that the amendments to those leases, excuse me, were they for the force majeure or were they for the extension of the primary term? They had nothing to do with force majeure.
This is the resolution regarding approval of a force majeure condition, right?
Oh.
Right.
Yes.
They cannot.
That was brought about in the nomination and track committee, right?
Okay. Right. They cannot even request recognition of a force majeure condition unless that phrase, those paragraphs are already in their lease.
Okay.
Well, is that correct, Mr. Heck?
Correct.
And he acknowledged that for the record.
Okay.
So, are you proposing we make that addition or not?
Do we? I don't think it's needed now.
Okay. You sure?
I'll withdraw it. Well. Okay, well, Ike says we need to keep it, so I won't withdraw my motion.
So you're making a substitute motion to approve all of the committee recommendations and additionally add this verbiage into the sixth whereas clause.
Right.
Of that
resolution we adopted in lease review committee.
Can we have the language you're adding again?
Yes. It's a sixth paragraph. That ends in force majeure is in effect, provided they also amend to include the other required clauses the board has previously directed. The four.
Second.
Let me ask Ike Jackson to explain further. Maybe he can.
It was just my opinion, and I discussed it earlier, that it ought to be in just in case there's any question later on when we do get these requests. We don't want anybody to say that with respect to these that we'll be approving, that is not really required because you didn't have it there.
Well,
I know what you previously directed.
Well, but I'm saying is any of these companies that try to amend their leases based upon the directive of the board will be notified that any amendment to the force majeure will include those four paragraphs. So they won't be done without those four paragraphs being added, regardless, because the board has already directed previously that any time you amend the force majeure, you have to add the four paragraphs. And so any time they submit a request to amend the lease to add the force majeure, they are notified and required to add the four paragraphs as well.
They also suspend us with all of this.
I want to clarify, too, that this resolution is not regarding amending leases. It's just recognizing a force majeure condition.
Right.
Rick, my question would be, would there be any harm done to include it? I mean.
No harm.
Again, they also suspend us.
Sanders.
Yes, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you very much. We're dealing with the resolution as a result that we just passed or recommended this morning.
And that's to recognize force majeure.
The flood.
Right.
And the wells that are shut in and the problems that about lack of production.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the resolution we're talking about?
Correct.
And are we, I think I heard Ms. Talley say it, we're not all trying to alter the contract, though, as a contract.
No.
A condition here, because
well, the problem may be, and I'm not sure because Charles wasn't clear, some of those leases may not even have force majeure clauses in them if they're the older leases.
But wouldn't just
correct
just us discussing things, whether or not there's a force majeure clause in the lease.
If there's a force majeure.
If you have a force majeure as a matter of law.
Right.
As declared by our governor with this emergency.
Correct.
Proclamation.
Right.
Then force majeure is going to be applicable to those contracts, whether it's in the contract or not, wouldn't you?
That's correct. That's correct. But under force majeure law, per se, just general force majeure law, it's how you apply it.
I'm sorry?
It's how you apply it. Because the way we apply it under our contracts, especially under the new force majeure language, may be a bit different than just general force majeure law.
And that means that we now, when we grant force majeure, we do it on the condition of altering the original contract and adding various paragraphs and languages to it.
Correct. That they agree to.
And now, we're not proposing that for these people, are we? Are we?
Well, that's what I was trying to find out. If that's what you're asking, I mean, if that's what Ike was talking about, I'm not sure without their agreement that we can do that.
Mr. Bradbury is going to come down and answer those questions.
I apologize for not being up on it, but I didn't.
No, and I'm not sure what the what idea was being requested here. My question or my response was to the effect that in order to recognize the force majeure, if we, because in the past, when there was no force majeure language in the contract or the old force majeure language that didn't cover these situations, when we require, we would recognize force majeure based upon the lessee's obligation to amend his contract to include the force majeure. What I'm hearing here is now that we're just recognizing the force majeure situation, which is fine. So I'm not sure in that situation where all you're doing is recognizing force majeure, you can require that we also recognize and the lessee recognize the obligation under the other four clauses.
Could I hear the language if we're going to add again, please?
Okay. This is the whereas clause that's mentioned. It says currently, whereas leases lacking force majeure should be amended at a future Mineral and Energy Board meeting to include a force majeure provision, which allows the operator to maintain this agreement without complying with the actual drilling or reworking operations or by actual production requirements for as long as the force majeure is in effect. And the addition would be provided they also amend to include the other required clauses the board has previously directed.
Okay. So that, in response to, if that's the whereas where we are requesting that they amend the leases to include the force majeure, then yes, we can request or demand that they add the four clauses.
The problem as I saw it, again, and I hate to, it's open discussion now, but is everybody that has a lease that does not have a force majeure clause, a suitable force majeure clause, could have all along been requesting to amend the lease to include the force majeure language, and the board would have done it. Now there might be some lessees now that have, you know, a force majeure situation. They don't have force majeure language, and there's nothing hard about any of these clauses. The clauses, you know, put everybody on equal footing, and you've consistently done it in every lease request, lease amendment request since you put out that directive. It could be construed that if you don't do it with these that might be coming in connection with the flood, somebody might argue that they're not required to do it because you didn't specifically include it when you approved it at this time. That was the only problem. And again, it's dealt in suspenders. It shouldn't be a problem once of anybody in good faith that's going to do it, should be able to do it, and it's a done thing.
Mr. Heck, let me ask you a question. Has the staff ever recommended to the board an amendment for force majeure language without including those four clauses?
Not since the board passed the resolution requiring the four paragraphs. In fact, when a request to amend, as I said before, when a request to amend the lease to add the force majeure clause is made, which it would have to be under this situation, the lessee is told that those four clauses also have to be added, and we send them copies of the. In fact, we send them a copy of a form lease amendment that includes all of that, and they are required to use that similar form with those four paragraphs as well as the force majeure, and it's not placed before the board for approval unless that's done.
Rule Are we awaiting Mr. Bradbury?
Yeah, we are, but we can approve everything but this if you all wish.
I'll amend my original motion to exclude the lease review committee agenda.
Exclude it?
Correct.
Do you have a second?
Yes, it's
second by Ms. Smith. All right. All in favor to approve all of the committee
recommendations
except the lease review committee? All in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, item four, I need a motion to go into executive session for our technical briefing.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Ms. Smith. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Aye. Motion carries. We're in executive session. We'll be back in a few minutes.
I understand there was a manhunt.
Yeah, there was.
Okay, I had stretched my legs. They weren't long enough after I got through here, so my apologies.
I'd like to make a motion to come out of executive session.
Yeah, we have a motion by
second.
Mr. Arnold, second by, is it Mr. Sanders?
That's
yeah.
The same guy.
To come out of the executive session. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any public comment? The motion carries. Mr. Bradbury, you have the floor. Well, there was a question as to, Ike, you want to?
Charles, the question
clarify?
Is, did any of the people requesting recognition of force majeure events this month not have the required language in their leases? Did any of them require lease amendments?
Yeah, there were. There are nine leases out there that have no force majeure language whatsoever. So under the policy of the board, they're covered and until they amend those leases if it's possible to do so. And when we send out our instructions, we will remind the industry that they need to do that. Several of the leases are still operating under the older language, and the older language provides for major floods. So we'll ask them to amend it, but I don't believe that we can actually force them or inspire them to amend it.
Comment?
Again, if you're asking for my comment, you're going to also ask them to include the four clauses that you always require, right?
Yes, sir. That's included in it's written somewhere. Sorry.
Right.
I'm trying to remember exactly where it's included, but usually we include that with our letters when we give them instructions. If there's something additional paperwork they need to provide. It's like right now, the affidavits aren't all in, so they have to provide that. They have economic impact statements that the individual companies are supposed to supply. Usually when we have a large scale problem like this, like with a hurricane, we say, tell us about the wells and the paperwork will follow later. And if we haven't received something by the time they get me something in writing, I usually just request what we need.
Then it will be my question, would you object to the board also included in that last whereas clauses? Specifically, that these, I think you said nine of them?
I believe it's nine leases.
Also include that language?
I have no problem at all.
Before you add that, I would put the caveat that if they request to amend the lease to add the force majeure, that they add that. Because under general contract law, even if you don't have force majeure language in your contract, if a force majeure event occurs, such as this flood, you are protected under the force majeure.
Absolutely, I understand that.
Okay.
Okay, with all that said, do you need
an original motion? Did I have a.
Your original motion is to add the. Why don't you read the verbiage just officially? And did you say you wanted.
The.
Is that verbiage acceptable? Okay.
Do I need to read it again?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Okay, the resolution adopted in the lease review committee, the sixth paragraph after in effect. provided that they also amend to include the other required clauses the board has previously directed. I'd like to make a motion to add that language.
And I'll second the motion to approve the lease review committee.
Approve the recommendation. Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Cordero.
Second.
Second by Mr. Arnold. Any further discussion or questions? Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bradbury.
Thank you, Mr.
Bradbury. Mr. Vaughn? Awarding of the leases, item five.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, first track 42082, we're recommending that the bid by Matador Resources Company be accepted. On track number 42088, the staff recommends that the bids by Sampson Contour Energy be rejected for insufficient consideration and is recommended that the track be re-advertised with minimums. On track number 42099, this is a track receiving multiple bids with overlap, and the staff would recommend that the first bid by Castex Energy on 85.39 acres be accepted, and also the seventh bid, which was by Tri-C Resources on 721.94 acres, be accepted. The staff would further recommend that Castex Energy Bid 2, which was on 174.71 acres, be given the first option. This bid, the first option, which would be on approximately 160 acres, that does not conflict with the first two bids. The staff would further recommend that Square Mile Energy bid number 5 be given the second option, which would the fifth bid of Square Mile Energy was on 210.44 acres. This option would be on approximately 132 acres. The next option 3, would be given to Square Mile Energy. Square Mile Energy. This was their bid number 4. And that bid was on 273.15 acres, and this would be option number 3, and that option would be on approximately 1 acre. The final option 4, would be given to Square Mile Energy, which is bid number 6. Their bid was on 175.9 acres, and that would be option 4, and that option would cover approximately 145 acres. And that concludes the options on that track. As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, we would recommend that those bids be accepted. Thank you.
All right, are there any questions or discussion on those bids?
I'd like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendations.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold to accept staff's recommendations, a second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Those lease bids are awarded. Item 6, thank you, Mr. Vaughn. Item 6, we were to have a PowerPoint presentation today, but that's going to be rescheduled for probably our next meeting. Are there any announcements?
The total for today's lease sale is $2,287,876.93, bringing the fiscal year total to approximately $43.4 million.
Right.
In addition, we have agendas for the conference that will be held in late July in the back of the room. Each of the board members has received a copy. Any of the board members who would like to attend, please let Mary Beth know.
The Sunrise Oil and Gas.
Stacy, can we get Mr. Segura to share his notes on the sessions that he attends?
Yes.
He attends all of them. I'd like to have them.
I guess that's public information. I would be happy to. Any further announcements? If not, do I have a motion to adjourn? Moved by Ms. Smith, seconded by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next month.